At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
A warmer friendly hello, welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Pierce, and now part of the Visa Family Podcast. We've got a great podcast for you. As in segment number two, we're going to be talking with one of our good friends, Rocco Miller. He does amazing work taking a look at college basketball over at Bracketeer.org. And if you guys are wondering who your favorite teams are going to be playing this season, he does a great job keeping track of all the scheduling in college basketball. And currently, he's going pretty much across the country, taking a look at a lot of these different teams through their practices, as we're going to be doing the podcast this evening with him. He's actually in the great state of Florida, so he's going to be diving into those teams. I know that we're going to be talking a lot about Pennsylvania teams today. Villanova in the wake of the Cam Whitmore injury, what to expect out of that. Pittsburgh with the unfortunate Dior Johnson situation. There's also a little bit of a sleeper team out there in that state that myself and he are both relatively bullish on. There's a few Atlantic 10 teams that he's feeling good about as well, so we're going to be talking about those. And we're also going to be talking about just how to adjust during the season for a team that might be a little bit more volatile, a team that might be younger, and trying to gauge them from the beginning of the season to the end of the season, and some of the difficulties slash some of the ways that we have been seeing it in recent years in general. So we're going to be having a great chat with Rocco. Really didn't get in a lot of news and notes in college basketball today for it, so we are going to be just keeping this to a two-part conversation as we get more news, and I'm sure that there will be come the weekdays when these teams are practicing, because we are down to 28 days until the start of the college basketball season, so these practices, these workouts, they are really hyping up. Those are all going to be passed along on the podcast to get you set for what is going to be an amazing college basketball season. And if you do have a question, comment, segment, idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at @unit_81. Keep in mind, letters M, name does not matter. So as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. And then from there, you are able to fire whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Let's not waste any more time. Let's get into our chat on the flip side with our good friend Rocco here on Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hughes Pearson, now part of the Houston Daily Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Las Vegas for Jessica Soup with myself, Greg Epstein, and now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. It is always a pleasure to be joined by this guest, as Rocco Miller. He does absolutely amazing work taking a look at the game of college basketball. He runs the website bracketeer.org, and for those of you guys wondering how your favorite team schedule is going to be looking for the upcoming season, he does a great job doing all that. And most teams have their schedule up. You might have a couple stray games that are a little bit subject to change because we do have a few independents this year, and I know that they're trying to fill up their schedules, and Rocco's on top of all that, but most of these teams, we know who they're going to be playing this season, and my goodness, we are less than 30 days away from the start of the college basketball season. That is going to be insane, and I know that Rocco is set for all of it, who you're able to follow on Twitter, at RoccoMiller8 altogether, and Rocco, we are finally getting to that time where most of the scheduling is done, and now we can just take a look at what is going to be an amazing slate of games. Always do appreciate it. Thank you.
Hey, it's always a pleasure to be on, Greg. Hope all is well with you and your world, and we're right around the corner. I mean, this offseason flew by. I've been chatting it up with a lot of people across the business, coaches, analysts, players, a few as well. So I think everybody's blown away on how fast the offseason goes. I think because with the portal carrying us all the way through May, scheduling stuff goes all through summer, a lot of foreign tour news, even late roster movement. We're still going to see some late roster movement announced all the way up until the first game, I think, onesie twosie. So there's just so many things to cover. Not only for the players and the coaches, it's been a year-round sport, but now it is for guys like us who cover the sport and hopefully the fans too, because there is a lot to sink your teeth into.
It's going to be an amazing season this year. And when you just take a look at some of these teams, because I know that you're currently out in the state of Florida, I know that you're going to be getting a look a little bit at perhaps Central Florida, Florida, perhaps a few others as well. But I know that you've been doing a great job going across the country, taking a look at a lot of these teams. Has there been a team or two that, as you've been perhaps researching them a little bit, you maybe got to visit their campus, list goes on and on in terms of things to get set for the upcoming season. Has there been a team or two that you've taken a look at, and just the more that you look at them, the more that you get a feel for them, the more you just are bullish on them in general?
I don't know about the bullish part yet, because again, you really don't know until you see them play in a real game. I like to take my time and wait a month to make sure what I'm seeing here in the preseason comes to fruition, especially with so many new rosters. But I think some of the ones that are maybe just not talked about enough are like the Temple Owls or even the Tulane Green Wave out of the American. Interesting veteran rosters. Tremendous opportunities for both Aaron McKee and for Ron Hunter, who have really struggled in the American Conference to get out of the muck, if you will, either the bottom tier of the league or even past the middle tier. This is an opportunity for those two programs, I think, to shoot straight up and compete as high as, who knows, second or third place. Obviously, Houston's the dominant team, but it could be that wide open. I like the way that they're built from a veteran standpoint. Continuity is there as well, so there's a lot to like on paper. Now let's see if they can actually go through the journey. I also thought both teams did a pretty good job scheduling-wise. Temple's pretty fortunate because they get the Big Five built in for them. That gives them that Villanova game at home to start off. I think they play Villanova at home that first Friday night. That's going to be an awesome opportunity for Temple, especially given Villanova's recent injury information. So those two are definitely two that just jump out right away. Out of the schools I've visited so far in the offseason, I actually got to visit Davidson right before the announcement of Matt McKillop taking over, and I spent a couple hours with Matt. It was a great opportunity. I don't know if they're going to be on paper, talent-wise, NCAA tournament good like last year. I don't think they're going to drop off that far. Sam Meninga and some of the guys they brought in the Porter, obviously Foster Lawyer coming back. I think they're going to be very, very tough to beat. They're basically like one of those teams, maybe like a poor man's Gonzaga, where they're not going to beat themselves, in my opinion. I think they're going to play even smarter with Matt at the helm in a lot of ways, just in terms of diving into deeper analytics, smarter roster and lineup combinations during different game situations. And I think that's going to help their program continue to build and evolve. And there's really no shortage of talent. So I do think, you know, they're probably NIT caliber, but they're going to knock some teams off and they're going to really make you earn it and beat you. And I think the last one I'll mention also out of the Atlantic 10, team getting a lot of hype. I think Dayton, sky's the limit type of team this year. So many guys that are back and ready to really explode their natural talent progression. They're in the right stage of their career for it. Anthony Grant's just going to have to guide the ship. But you look at these players on paper and watch the way they practice and play together so far, they could have a really, really special year. So it'll be interesting to watch. Whether that happens in the regular season or the postseason or both will be fascinating. But I think they're a dangerous team, you know, all 5 months of the year.
I think that you bring up some really good teams because I do think that the Atlantic 10 as a whole in for a very solid year. No doubt you're probably going to see St. Bonaventure take a little bit of a setback. That just happens when you lose 99.9% of your scoring. And I'm not even joking when I bring up that stat, but there are so many teams, including Loyola Chicago coming in, that should be able to fortify them as Rocco Miller is joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops. But I'm so glad that you bring up Temple and the fact that they are going to be playing against Villanova because, for one, I am really bullish on Temple. I actually put them number 3 in the American. I think that they can make the NCAA tournament, so I completely agree with you. I think that they're in for a big year. And you mentioned the fact that they are going to be getting Villanova very early on during the season, and they're going to be most likely without Cam Whitmore in that game. He is undergoing surgery on his thumb this week. He is expected to be out for at least a month, and then he gets reevaluated mid-November. So I'm sure that we are not going to be seeing him night number one. When we do see him, that is a big question mark. But I think that this is a pretty devastating blow for a Villanova team that I was concerned about their depth to start with, especially in the beginning of the year, because we all recall the Justin Moore injury during the NCAA tournament last season. He's not going to be good to go for the beginning part of the season. And with Villanova, I think that they're in very good hands with Kyle Neptune. We saw what he was able to do at Fordham, but still, with having both of those guys being out of the fold to begin the season, and just this Villanova team in general, they've got a very good model of being able to bring in a lot of these freshmen, be able to develop them. They don't necessarily go through the transfer portal too much, but I do feel like for Neptune, he is going to be paying a little bit for Jay Wright's approach from last season of really playing only about a 6-man rotation.
He's not going to have a choice early on, as you mentioned, with the assumption that Moore and, of course, Whitmore won't be available as well. That's a guy they were counting on. You know, McDonald's All-American, 5-star, one of the biggest recruits Villanova's had in their history. So look at the rest of the roster. I look at a guy like a Jordan Longingo as somebody that maybe needs to take a step forward coming into his sophomore campaign, perhaps Trey Patterson as well, a little bit bigger body there. But overall, the team's not that big. Like, you see Patterson at 6'9 and Joku at 6'9. I don't know if they have anybody bigger than those two guys. They got some wide body guys. If you're Neptune, you're trying to not screw anything up that Jay created. Easier said than done. I think, unfortunately, for Neptune, he's going to have a tremendous challenge because so many teams, not only in Philadelphia like Temple and the rest of the Big Five, they want revenge on Villanova for all those years of getting blown out. But the entire Big East, they'll have a bullseye on their back there, too. So this could be an interesting year. You know, I do think they have top 20 level talent with a full team, maybe even top 15 level. By the time they get everybody playing together and, you know, whatever wrinkles Neptune's going to add or remove from the Jay Wright time, that stuff is going to take time to come together. So maybe by later half of the year, they'll be a very dangerous team. I think in the first half of the year, especially the fact they're going to come out to Portland and play in the PK 85, those could be some early lessons that they won't kill Villanova, and that could make them stronger. And the guys that will get the additional minutes in November will benefit from that come March. So I don't want to look at this as like a total negative. I think some Villanova fans will potentially might not like their record going into Christmas time, but I would say keep the big picture in mind. You get these guys playing together. It is a strong nucleus. If they can get everybody back healthy, it will be a tough out in March by the time we get there. So just going to be a little bit of patience there. Maybe some uncharacteristic losses for this program. But I think by the time we're said and done, they'll be a tough team in March.
I think that you bring up something interesting about taking a look at these teams from the beginning of the season to the end of the season as well, because I do think that that's one of the toughest things for me personally to do from a betting perspective, because there are certain teams that you need to reevaluate from the beginning of the season to the end of the season. And typically, I do that with more freshman-laden teams, because with freshmen, they come in night number one. Like, I think that Duke is a very good example of it this season. If Duke has to go up against a team with a whole bunch of experience, we're going to spitball some sort of a team like a Dayton. I think that they're actually a very good example. I think that Dayton would have a much better chance of knocking off Duke in like mid-November, late November, early December, something like that, rather than if these two teams hook up in like the round of 32, the Sweet 16 in the NCAA tournament, because those freshmen of Duke, they're dealing with an injury of their own, like a Derek Whitehead. I think that they're going to be able to come into their own. The athletes themselves typically went out a little bit more in March because those guys have been able to form chemistry all throughout the season. And I think that that is something that is very important to look at, and something that metrics itself, I do think, have a little bit of a tougher time quantifying as well. And it is a big reason why you see, oh, Team X lost to, like, insert your team that is in that is outside the top 200 in KenPom here at the beginning part of the season. Now, here they are in the Elite Eight Final Four, because it feels like we've got one or two of those teams darn near every year.
Yeah, that's right. And I think it is tougher to beat a team. Let's say that Dayton-Duke comparison you just made, Greg. It's tougher to beat a team in the tournament like a Duke. There's some extenuating forces sometimes. They're taking out the big dog like Duke is, you know, the national brand. You know, there's a lot of factors sometimes that work against a Dayton in that scenario. But I do think Dayton, as an example, with the amount of talent at the sophomore level, is why I like them a lot. The majority of their studs are technically sophomores. I know some of them had COVID years and red shirts, and they're probably the age of a senior. But in general, in college basketball, I think the biggest jump for development, if there's ever a spike, a real spike, it's between that freshman and sophomore year. So you have just a ton of sophomores between Holmes and Smith and Elvis and Blakeney and Amzel. It's a deep team, and Kamara is just a great big man with Power 5 experience. I just don't think Dayton's a team that would theoretically be as intimidated as others would be in that situation. But you're right. Like, historically speaking, there's always a team like, you know, Kansas last year, a great example. Just very difficult when you have all that working for you and you're the big school. Because big schools, as you know, Kansas, Kentucky, the Blue Bloods, if you will, they have the talent there, and the talent usually rises to the top in March. And you don't know what's going to happen throughout the year because guys are kind of saving themselves for March in certain cases. So I think that's always important to remember in the back of your head as you watch the regular season play out.
And I think that, honestly, Dayton is a really good example because of what we saw last season with them as well, because they lost on their home floor to Austin Peay. I know that they also took a loss to, like, UMass Lowell, and then they knock off Kansas a few weeks later. They were playing some very good basketball down the stretch until they did have a few unfortunate injuries pop up as well. So I always do think that that's something that is so fascinating to take a look at. As joining me on the podcast, we do have Rocco Miller, does a great job over at bracketeer.org. And then we've been talking a lot about the state of Pennsylvania, with talking about Temple, talking about Villanova as well. And Pittsburgh is a team that's in the news for, let's call it what it is, the wrong reasons. Dior Johnson, a big-time recruit that was coming in for them, he is currently facing some, shall we say, less than savory charges. We don't know exactly the extent of them, and I think that Pittsburgh has taken the correct approach here. He is suspended until things get cleared up with the ordeal. We shall see what happens there, and then they are going to levy judgment based on what the findings are, which I think that that is the exact perfect way to take a look at things. You don't want a guy out there with everything surrounding this, but you don't want a guilty until proven innocent sort of ordeal either, so you let the legal system play out. So I do think that Pittsburgh is handling it the correct way, but this is really a put up or shut up year, in my opinion, for Pittsburgh, because it has been a while for Jeff Capel, and I think that Jeff Capel's a solid coach. He's been hit by some unfortunate injuries, like Nike Sabandi all last year was unable to play, but this is a devastating blow for a Pittsburgh team that I like what they did in the portal. It felt like they were building some forward momentum, and this just sort of feels like they took two steps forward, and now with this entire ordeal, they now take two steps back.
Right. I mean, Dior Johnson, and a guy that was at one point affiliated with Oregon, he is once committed to Washington. I think he's committed to a handful of schools before eventually getting to Pittsburgh and the brief time he's been there. Every situation is different, as you said, Greg, and I think they're handling the process the right way. But I do think this particular kid specifically has had a lot of different issues over the course of his teenage years. And so you always hope a guy like that can just find the right home and finally blossom and become what he can become. You know, kind of same thing with Imani Bates, right? I just think with D'Or Johnson, if you're a Pitt fan or if you're a Pitt coach, if you're Jeff Capel or anybody on Pitt staff, you had to kind of take him in with the knowledge that there's a really good chance this isn't going to work out, whether it's one reason or another. He hasn't stayed committed to the same school for longer than a 6 month period, really. There was a lot of risk associated and pretty much all upside. If Pitt managed this with that in mind and looked at it as an all upside, then their contingency plan should still be the same. They're going to be led by John Hugley, of course. Nellie Cummings is going to be nice. And you've got Jamarius Burton there. And hopefully the other folks on the roster and even some of these other freshmen they brought in, like the Diaz Graham brothers here, are ready to contribute, because I just don't think it would have been fair to themselves, or even if you're a Pitt fan, fair to yourself, to consider D'Or Johnson as a guy that's totally going to be reliable, dependable. You know, it's a lottery ticket if it hits. Unfortunately, here early on, it doesn't look like he may not ever play in a Pitt uniform. We'll see how that plays out. I hope the best for the guy and he can kind of learn from this and get through the legal process. You don't know what we don't know at this point. But just him specifically, Greg, I have to comment just because of, you know, following his whole last 3 or 4 years. It's just, you hate to see it, but, you know, you kind of knew maybe something was going to come up again where he wouldn't actually see the court.
Yeah, it certainly was a very risky ordeal. As you mentioned, he had been committed to many different schools. And even if he was going to be out there on the floor, you knew that he was going to be a ball dominant guy as well. So you're able to run down the list. Lots of different things that could have happened. And hopefully for his sake, things just go well for him in his personal life in general. And you hope that what is being accused is not necessarily what happened, because I read some of the reports, very, very less than savory is probably the most tame way I could put it in this podcast. So we will just leave it at that. But I know that you, Rocco, are doing absolutely amazing work taking a look at the great game of college basketball. Like I mentioned, you're actually out there in the great state of Florida. You're going to be taking a look at a few teams for this upcoming season. And as this podcast is released, we are just 4 Mondays away from the start of the college basketball season. It is going to be absolutely spectacular. Love the good people at home. Know it's all on tap for you and how people can follow along on social media and other platforms.
Appreciate it, Greg. Can't wait. We're almost there. Got less than a month to go. November 7th, opening night, we have over 186, I think, official D1 games involving D1 teams on the first night. I think by the time it's all said and done, we might get above 190. There's still a few things in the works on the schedule. You can follow me at Rocco Miller 8, the number 8 on Twitter. My website is bracketeer.org. Firing out schedule pages to ramp up for the season. So the SoCon came out last Friday. We'll have Conference USA up tomorrow. And by the time we get to tip off, you'll have all 32 leagues. Just a nice extra resource for fans to see an even breakdown of home and away games for every single team in Division One. It can also help if you're like Greg and you handicap any games to see how they strategize their schedule and basically how they might perform on certain nights based on that. In terms of other stuff I have going on, we'll, of course, on bracketeer.org have a preseason bracketology, which will be like basically the only bracket all year where it's my opinion. After that, everything will be based on data. Always a fun exercise. But as part of that preview, we'll do a two-step preview. Step one will be all the one bid leagues, predicting the regular season champion, the tournament champion, a dark horse team to pay attention to. Of course, you know, that tournament champion will be part of the bracket forecast. And then in the larger leagues that will have multiple bids, be a more thorough breakdown and full prediction of each league, one through however many teams are in the league. So just a lot of information will be packed into those two posts. We'll have those up in the coming weeks. And then, as Greg mentioned, I'm out in Florida for a few days. I'll be attending UCF workouts and practice here in the next day or two. And then on Wednesday, I'll be reconnected with our friend Todd Golden at Florida, checking out workouts and practices there. That will set the tone for another visit out here in January, where I'm going to do a couple Gator games here in the early part of January. So looking forward to it.
I am as well. I know that Rocco does amazing work when it comes to getting a lot of these schedules set for the upcoming college basketball season. He has been hard at work all offseason long. helping out with that. Now he's going around the country, taking a look at what we can expect out of a lot of these teams, how these rosters are all meshing together, and he does amazing work and truly does love this game of college basketball. Big thanks to Rocco for joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops, now a part of the VSiN family of podcasts. And if you do like what you're hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever you hear podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you've got a question, comment, segment, idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways to be able to throw those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at @unit_81. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter. So as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. The other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. I'm coming at you guys every single day on this podcast here in the off season, giving you guys all the news and notes of college basketball along with conference previews, as we've got 5 left to do. You're going to have another one within the next few days. And then once we get in-season picks and analysis on every single game, every single day. So I will chat at you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.